I'm Weezy Muntali, host of African Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Welcome to Africa Now. Today's show features Echoes of Festac 77 with Brother Abdullah Kalimat. Africa Now is next. Welcome to the show. I'm Weezy Muntali. The music in the background is The Truth by Kamasi Washington, commemorating his birthday, which was February 18. First, I just want to thank the listeners for supporting Don't Forget the Blues with Clarence the Bluesman Turner today during our winter pledge drive. Our goal for this hour is $500, and I'm sure we can make that goal and more to make up our shortfall from last week. And we can do that by you calling at 800-222-9739, 800-222-9739, or visit wpfwfm.org, go to the Donate Now button, scroll down to Africa Now, that's at wpfwfm.org, or you can also pledge on our Cash App, which is the $ WPFW-FM. Cash App is the $ WPFW-FM to reach our goal. And you can also text WPFW-FM at 801-801. That's WPFW-FM 801-801. That's by text. Whether it's the courage to tell the truth about displacement, apartheid, and genocide, or our commitment to presenting jazz and all of its extensions, along with other liberatory musical genres, blues, hip-hop, house, WPFW has been an unwavering partner in the fight for social justice and the preservation of the culture. Be in solidarity with us today during our winter pledge drive as we celebrate 48 years of courage and commitment. Donate today at wpfwfm.org or call 800-222-9739. That's 800-222-9739. Or on Cash App, which is the $ WPFW. And note in the memo section that is for Africa Now. Or by texting WPFWFM. And that's 801-801. Texting WPFWFM at 801-801. It is with your generous financial support that WPFW, this emancipatory educational media outlet, continues to build a better world one broadcast at a time. In the spirit of WPFW's Winter Pledge Drive theme, today the show goes into our archives to present Echoes of Festac 77 with Brother Abdul Al-Kalimat. Attended by more than 17,000 participants from over 50 countries from January 15 to February 12, 1977, the Second World Black and African Festival of Arts and Culture, Festac 77, was significantly the largest Pan-African culture event ever held in continental Africa. Africa Now features Dr. Abdullah Kalimat's presentation given at Festac 77 in Lagos, and recent reflections of the Pan-African culture event. The reflections by Dr. Kalimat were made at the International Curriculum at the International Black Theater Festival. That was from July 29 to August 3, 2024, that Africa World Now Project coordinated. Dr. Abdullah Kalimat is one of the founders of Black Studies and Professor Emeritus at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. A lifelong scholar, organizer with a PhD from the University of Chicago, he has lectured, taught, and directed academic programs across the U.S., the Caribbean, Africa, and Europe, and China. His academic organizing trajectory stems from former chair of the Chicago chapter of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, in the 1960s to a prominent actor in the African Liberation Support Movement in the 1970s to being co-founder of the Black Radical Congress in 1998. Here is Dr. Abdullah Kalama's presentation on FESTAC 77 in Lagos and recent reflections of the Pan-African Culture event.
The use of form, colloquium, and festivals to center Africana intellectual and creative cultural production flows rhythmically alongside the long tradition of Pan-African tendencies. This historical continuity and our duty to move within its legacy is a project that the International Colloquium at the International Black Theater Festival, that we, Africa Bold Now Project Collective, have the pleasure to coordinate, is the explicit dictum that guides its creation. Furthering our work in this Pan-African genealogy is intentional. With this, our 2024 offering examined the continued viability of cultural platforms through a critical exploration of these platforms. Our theme this year was titled Echoes of FESTAC 77. Attended by more than 17,000 participants from over 50 countries from January 15th to February 12th, 1977, the Second World Black and African Festival of Arts and Culture was significantly the largest Pan-African cultural event ever held on continental Africa. It also witnessed the largest number of people of African descent to travel from the Americas back to Africa. Some during the time considered it a, quote, symbolic reversal of the transatlantic chattel slave industry. Africans from the diaspora were returning home. Notwithstanding the legacy of the crisis thereafter, the echoes of this momentous world historical event provides a lens through which we can look backward and forward. The conveners of FESTAC 77 stated that the, quote, heart of the festival would be the colloquium. As a result, for 2 weeks, January 17th through 30th, more than 200 Black scholars from across the African world gathered each day to read papers, engage in debate, and prepare reports on the following themes. 1. Arts and pedagogy. 2. Languages and literature. 3. Philosophy and religion. 4. Historical awareness. And 5. Science and technology. A quote from the Secretary General of the International Festival Committee suggested that, quote, the colloquium must mark an important date in the history of Black and African culture. From a study of its theme, Black Civilization and Education, we should draw conclusions likely to help us right now in improving our system of education and making a new man, a new people, and a renewed society, worthy and proud of the civilization they have inherited and capable of enriching and transmitting it. In this colloquium, it is not a question of proving that we have a civilization, for it has already imposed itself in the world, and no serious-minded person today can deny the existence, the originality, and the priceless values of Black and African civilizations. What we propose to do is to make a survey of the richness of our heritage and to draw therefrom the necessary resources for the revival of our peoples, and why not, for the revival of mankind in general. The primary objectives of FESTAC 77 was to, quote, provide a forum for the focusing of attention on the enormous richness and diversity of African contributions to world culture and the opportunity for recounting the achievements of our ancestors. For the 2024 iteration of the International Colloquium, as we continue to think deeply about form and function and its relationship to critical consciousness formation and radical practice in the use of arts to map and proliferate Black African socio-political and cultural life, we had the pleasure of being in dialogue with Dr. Abdul Akalimat, who was at FESTAC 77. In fact, you will hear his presentation given at FESTAC 77 in this program. As part of a consortium of cultural workers, intellectuals, activist organizers, Dr. Abdullah Kalimat, along with Dr. Ronald Walters, Dr. Mulana Karenga, and a host of others took part in the colloquium. For our purposes, and it is hoped that this airing will promote for you an intention to explore the echoes of FESTAC 77 and other past and current festivals as a basis upon which to examine the legacies of these spaces, to map the various radical advancements or lack thereof, and to set the parameters of current and future Black art and artists and their objectives. Dr. Abdullah Kalimat is one of the founders of Black Studies and Professor Emeritus at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. A lifelong scholar organizer with a PhD from the University of Chicago, He has lectured, taught, and directed academic programs across the U.S., the Caribbean, Africa, Europe, and China. His academic organizing trajectory stems from former chair of the Chicago chapter of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee in the 1960s to a prominent actor in the African Liberation Support Movement in the 1970s to being a co-founder of the Black Radical Congress in 1998. Dr. Abdullah Kalimat's work has spanned over 45 years, punctuated with the founding of various institutions such as, but not limited to, the People's College, Nashville and Chicago, and co-founder with Vincent Harding of the Institute of the Black World, to name a few. His academic work has opened new paths of inquiry in Black intellectual and cultural life while guiding many students on their journey through academia and beyond. What you will hear next is Dr. Abdullah Kalimat's presentation given at FESTAC 77, which is available on his website along with other important material, and then Professor Kalimat's meditations on FESTAC 77, setting the framework and intentions for our engagement a week ago. I will be remiss to not highlight that along with Dr. Kalimat, we were joined by artists and cultural scholars from Nova Scotia, Canada, where they explored the continuities and the histories of people of African descent in Nova Scotia, Canada. We had the pleasure to be in conversation with Walter Borden as he presented The Last Epistle of Tightrope Time, a powerful autobiographical play and the story of Walter Borden's life, his life's work, and his letter to the world. An artist and cultural worker, Mr. Borden is an internationally acclaimed and nationally honored African Indigenous actor and activist born in New Glasgow, Nova Scotia. His activism spans 6 decades while his professional acting career is in its 54th year. He has performed throughout Canada, Europe, and the United States. We look to bring you his thoughts and meditations in coming programs on Africa World Now Project. Stay tuned. During the International Colloquium at the International Black Theater Festival, held every 2 years in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, we spent 4 days expanding the scope and deepening our range of knowledge about historical and contemporary Black life through a lens that centered Africana cultural production, thinking through fundamental questions which included but not limited to, where have we been and where can we go? These were two of the primary questions that grounded us to think beyond the limits of now, focusing on creating an African future. As you prepare to engage this program, we share this meditation in hope that it will guide you as you share your time and energy with us. The universe of thought and ideas are the playground of Africana creativity. Black life lives with the fulcrum of the seen and unseen, constantly merging theory and practice, effortlessly creating, recreating through radical acts of remembering, moving in and out of the deep well of Africana ways of being and forms of knowing. This is the essence of Black cultural production, the production of life itself. Our show was produced today in solidarity with the Native, Indigenous, African, and Afro-descendant communities at Standing Rock, Venezuela, Corporation Jackson in Jackson, Mississippi, Brazil, the Avalon Village in Detroit, Colombia, Kenya, Palestine, South Africa, Ghana, Haiti, and other places who are fighting for the protection of our land for the benefit of all peoples. Listen intently. Think critically, act accordingly.
Yes, Mr. Chairperson, I have a paper here on Black studies in the USA, but the logic and substance of this conference requires that I read some brief remarks written only last night. This too represents what we mean by Black studies. Comrades, colleagues, and friends, I greet you on behalf of the Afro-American liberation struggle, a struggle which is merging with the workers' movement and all oppressed national minorities in the United States in a fighting united front against imperialism, a struggle whose aim is national liberation and socialist revolution, a struggle united with the countries, nations, and peoples of the world in their heroic fight for independence, liberation, and revolution. My first point concerns history. We fight over history because the ruling class has consciously distorted it to enslave our minds. We ask, what is the logic and substance of our historical process? Black people have struggled through 3 major stages of historical experience in the United States since the Atlantic slave trade. Blacks were held as chattel slaves in a system of production and social life that was an antiquated, barbaric anomaly inside a growing industrial capitalist system. It represented the backward state of the slave mode of production and the vicious exploitation of capitalism's profit greed. After the Civil War in the 1860s, the quality of life changed little, but there was a profound change in the relations of production. Black people were transformed into a quasi-feudal people, and this represented the initial possibility for the formation of an Afro-American nation. Outright fascist terror ruled, and production was characterized by nearly forced labor. World War I and World War II pulled blacks out of the rural southern farms into the industrial northern cities. Now over 90% of all black people in the United States are wage workers, a solid part of the working class in the United States. Briefly, this periodization of our historical development in the heart of one of the world's most dangerous imperialist forces is a major step in our historical consciousness, as it clearly points out our task as solid sector of the proletariat in the United States, our task as socialist revolution. While our cultural life has dialectically progressed in this same manner, we know that it is the political economy and the role of the state that controls and dominates our life that is in fact the most important consideration. Prior to the Civil War in the 1860s, it was possible for revolutionaries to have a strategy for a two-stage revolution. First, the destruction of the slave system, and second, the ultimate goal of the destruction of the capitalist system. But this did not happen. This is not what occurred. What did occur is the continuation of the bourgeois democratic revolution begun over 100 years previously, called the American Revolution. And the function of this was to further consolidate the rule of northern industrial capital over the entire country. Now, after decades of struggle, after the revolutionary upsurge of the 1960s, we face squarely and courageously the fight for socialism. As Afro-Americans, we are a people who have at least two historical tasks central to our role in this colloquium and festival. First, the rediscovery and reaffirmation of our ancestral past to celebrate our African origins and our continuing struggle for survival in the belly of the beast of U.S. imperialism. In this regard, we reach out to the masses of our African sisters and brothers. Secondly, and however, the most important task is to affirm our unity with all oppressed and suffering masses of the world, to merge our struggle with the proletariat in our own country and fight a revolutionary struggle. So the main question facing Afro-American people in the United States is the unity required for socialist revolution in the United States. Moreover, we feel that while this is a festival of art and culture, the main point of unity that can and must be reached is a fighting unity against imperialism. This is the lesson of the heroic struggle of PAIGC and the fallen great hero Amilcar Cabral. This is the lesson of Guinea. But also it's a lesson of Paul Robeson, of Claude McKay and Langston Hughes and many other men and women of culture that have emerged in the struggle, the long and heroic struggle of the Afro-American people. So I conclude these brief remarks by placing a challenge before this working group and before the entire conference, the entire colloquium, the entire festival. Can we place this struggle against imperialism at the heart of our final summary report, our message to the world, and define this struggle as the basis for creating a new world? And this, of course, means a new Africa. To quote an African leader, if you want a revolutionary culture, create the revolution, and the people will create the culture.
And that was Dr. Abdul Kalamat. He is presenting Echoes of Festac 77. And this is from, we're visiting this show from our archives as we celebrate Black History Month this month. And also as we celebrate our pledge drive. And I'm here with our executive producer and co-host, James Pope. Well, we're not in the same place, we're in the virtual studio. Hey, James, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing great, great, great to see you over the World Wide Web.
Yeah, indeed. You know, I could be anywhere in the world. There's always at any given moment, you know, you got to text me at least an hour before, sometimes a day, make sure. But no, I, you know, I'm just revisiting, and I'm glad, you know, in this particular instance and this time that we have an opportunity to kind of show the deep breadth and the depth of the programming, particularly at Africa Now, but also the scope of WPFW as an entire station. And so Africa Now, me and you always are trying to, you know, look at the African world and the continuities first before we start to try to understand the differences. And that has allowed us a great archive of material that we can always remind our listeners during this particular time that what they are actually pledging for. So in that particular instance, I guess we can give the number now.
That's 800-222-9739. Again, the number is 800-222-9739. And of course, as we said, you can go on wpfwfm.org and go to the Donate Now button, scroll down to Africa Now to make your pledge for Africa Now and WPFW. And you can also support the show and WPFW on our Cash App, which is the $ WPFWFM. Again, the Cash App is the $WPFWFM, and indicating the memo that is for Africa Now. And then we also have, you know, people can text at WPFWFM, and they can text at 801-801. Again, the text is WPFWFM, and you can text at 801-801. And as I said, James, people when they hear Africa Now, it's not the continental physical Africa that we try to present in the show, as even WPFW continuously since 1977 has done, connecting the entire African world, in whether it's the music, the issues, and that's what we do actually in the show. This show in particular is about the culture, but the culture is the essence, as you know, Admiral Kubral always talks about culture and being the essence of what of society. And Festac in 77 is an occasion which is not often visited. You would not hear it on the corporate media, of course, and most places. It's not reflected upon enough as well.
And I wanted to, you know, kind of give a shout out to Brother Abdullah Kalimad, who, you know, has given access to, you know, the archive of this. So the first part of that particular program is his initial remarks, where he was part of a delegation from the United States that included Ron Walters, the important Pan-African Black political thinker. You know, he was there with them, and of course, a range of other people. And at this particular, but this is also in the context of something else that I've been doing, a project that I've been engaged with for a number of years now. This is an international colloquium that I curate to really map the arts, culture, and kind of bringing together movement folk and how art and culture is the basis for resistance. And so I actually had him do the keynote last year, because we're in 2025.
Yeah.
Is part of the International Black Theater Festival that happens in Winston-Salem every 2 years. So it will be coming back up next year. So I'm already thinking specifically about, what I'm going to be doing or who I want to be able to make sure that we document the long continuity that have contributed to the politics, culture, ideas, and arts of the African world through resistance. So that was kind of like the origin story of that, and I also work with Brother Abdul and doing a number of other things as well. So I have, I'm very fortunate to be able to do that and bring some of that stuff to you. And I'll say this one last thing. We also have in our archive some of the 1990 conference on Malcolm X, given that this is the 100th remembrance, anniversary of Malcolm
of
X.
His birth,
right, including France Fanon. So I don't want us to
Fanon,
make sure.
Yes, Fanon, Medgar Evers, France Fanon, Patrice Lumumba.
Yeah. Yeah,
all
absolutely.
Together in 1 year. Yeah,
absolutely.
This year. Yeah.
So, that archive, of course, is there. And what I did was took some of that and also created a program around that. People was at that conference was fascinating. If folk get a chance, please go to Brother Abdullah Kalimat's website and search the Malcolm X section of that. I mean, it's just full of, a myriad of things, a rich resource that we intend to do. And also in this digital age, kind of bring that to you so you can have it and do something with it. Not just listen.
Yeah.
Don't just listen. We want you to take it and do something with it in community together.
As they say, each one teach one.
That's right.
And it's that website, as James mentioned, is alkalimat.org. That's alkalimat.org.
Yeah.
For more information. And before we go to the next part, go ahead.
Yeah, and I wanted to say, right before or after you go to that website, you come to WPFW.
That's right. And support the show at WPFWFM.org and go to the Donate Now button. And also you can join three folks we want to thank so far. That's Leonard Nbui. Thank you very much for your support. And then we have Anonymous from Bowie, Maryland. And they say, thank you for your tireless work reporting. Reporting nuanced and meaningful news from Africa. Thank you very much from Bowie. And also want to thank Franklin from DC. And I know that brother, Franklin, was a longtime supporter. Thank you so much for your generous support, Franklin, for your continued support and also your hard work in the movement. And we still have some ways to go. We still have $150 to go. We can make our goal. It's very achievable and more because we need to make up from shortfall from last week. And also because, as they said in the other shows, these are very important times to keep airways like this. This is your station. You have made sure, the community has made sure for 48 years that this station stays here, is heard. And we really, as a testament to communities' work and community work, each one supporting each other in the testament of the manifestation of African proverb of it takes a village to raise a child. WPFW is that child. So we're gonna go back to Abdullah Kalimat on his reflections of Festac 77. As we revisit that momentous Pan-African Black event that took place in Lagos, Nigeria, 1977.
It's called A Poem for Deep Thinkers, and it was written, I guess, for deep thinkers, intellectuals, etc. Sky people coming down out the clouds, land. Then walking into society, try to find out what's happening. What's happening, they'd be saying. Look at it, where they've been, dabbling in mist, appearing and disappearing. Now there's a real world breathing, inhaling, exhaling, concrete and sand. And they want to know what's happening. What's happening is life itself, onward and upward. The spirals of fire conflict clash of opposing forces. The dialogue of yes and no showed itself in stabbed children in the hallways of schools, old men strangling bank guards, or hard Puerto Rican inmates' tears exchanging goodbyes in the prison doorway. Armies sweeping wave after wave to contest the ancient rule of the minority. What draws them down? Their blood entangled with humans, their memories, perhaps of the earth and what they thought it could be. But blinded by sun and their own images of things rather than things as they actually are, they wobble, they stumble sometimes. And people, they be cheering a lot because they think the sky people dancing. Yeah, yeah, get on it. People grinning and feeling good because the sky people dancing and the sky people stumbling. Till they get the sun out their eyes and integrate the in-head movie show with the material reality that exists with and without them. There are tragedies, though. A bunch of skies bought the loop-de-loop program from the elegant babble of the ancient minorities, which is where they loop-de-loop in the sky, right on, just loop-de-loop, loop-de-loop in fantastic, meaningless curlicues which delight the thin gallery owners who wave at them on their way to getting stabbed in the front seats of their silver Alfa Romeos by lumping they have gotten passionate with. And the loop-de-loopers go on, sometimes spelling out complex primitive slogans and shooting symbolic smoke out their gills in honor of something dead. And then they'll make daring dives right down toward the earth and skag cocaine money white out and crunch, iced into the statue graveyard where Ralph Ellison sits biting his banjo strings, retightening his instrument for the millionth time before playing the star-spangled banjo. Or else, loop-de-loop, loop-de-loop, up higher and higher and thinner, finer, refiner. Sugar laddies in the last days of the locust, sucking their Greek lollipops. Such intellectuals as we is, baby, we need to deal in the real world and BBB in the real world. We need to use all the skills, all the spills and thrills that we conjure, that we construct, that we lay out and put together to create life as beautiful as we thought it could be, as we dreamed it could be, as we desired it to be, as we knew it could be, before we took off, before we split for the sky side, not to settle for endless, meaningless circles of celebration of this madness, this madness, not to settle for this madness, these yo-yos of the ancient minorities. It's all for real. Everything's for real, be for real. That's the song of the sky tribe walking the earth, faint smiles to open roars of joy. Meet you on the battlefield, they say. They be humming, hop, then stride. Faint smile to roars of open joy. Hey, my man, what's happening? Meet you on the battlefield, they say. Meet you on the battlefield, they say. What I guess needs to be discussed here tonight is what side y'all gonna be on.
Greetings, everyone. Thank you for another year, bi-yearly festival, and welcome to the International Colloquium, which has been part of the festival for a number of years now, started by Sope Olalerian, Dr. Sope Olalerian, with the express purpose to explore, extend, and really have a critical engagement about African cultural production, intellectual life, how it extends beyond theater, how it extends through theater, a cultural life itself, arts in all facets. We will be in this particular room for the next today. Today is the opening of the International Colloquium. Of course, most of you probably have already participated in the first part of the colloquium, which is the gala. I hope you enjoyed that particular part. It was the opening of the festival itself, but now we're getting down specifically to what is happening in Black theater across the world. I mean, International Colloquium is that particular platform where we come and engage in in-depth exploration of that. What does it look like now? What did it look like before? But also, more importantly, what it looks like as we move to the future. This year, of course, our theme is called Echoes of Festac 77. And those who know anything about the cultural festival, particularly Festac in Nigeria in 1977, there was a lot of pomp and circumstance, as some people have said, but there is critical, but also it was very, very important because there's reverberations, particularly from that. And this year, we have the pleasure to have Brother Abdul Kalimat, Dr. Abdullah Kalimat, who actually was at the festival, but also very, very engaged in long time organizing, not only on campuses, but in the community. There's a long history there. He's a professor emeritus from University of Illinois Champaign, a stalwart. If you have studied Black studies in any type of capacity, he is one of what is considered to be the founders, are the major contributors to Black studies across, obviously, universities. But again, coming from a particular tradition off campus and merging those two things. Now, I do know that there's a bio and everything available. This year, I actually took the time to actually map festivals and the use of colloquiums all the way back from the 1900s, first starting with the Pan-African Congresses, and then, of course, leading all the way up until today, looking at the Negro artists, the Negro Writers and Artists Festival in 1956, doing it from 1959, looking at the first arts festival. So I have that document. So what I will probably do is if you would like that document personally, I'll have something where you can put your email and I can email it to you. I do think it is available on the app. Without further ado, I would like to bring Dr. Abdullah Kalimat to the podium and deliver the opening keynote for the International Colloquium for the week and set the tone for what we're going to be doing. Again, Dr. Abdullah Kalimat.
Thank you. I want to start this international theme of the colloquium by sharing with you the slogan of the moment in terms of social justice, peace in the world, Free Palestine. Thank you for that generous introduction, James, and let me try to earn that respect. We're here to think about Echoes of Festac 77. As you heard, I was there and active before and after Festac, and here I am today to discuss all of that with you. The slide here shows my website on Festac 77, where you can find full documentation of the festival. It's at alkalimat.org under the link called Websites. Festac 77 is the largest, most representative Pan-African cultural gathering before it and since. The gathering of over 1,600 participants from 56 countries was a historic activity. It deserves an evaluation some 47 years later in 2024. In this talk, I'll discuss these five topics: Festac 77 itself, dialectics of Pan-African cultural festivals, about African Americans, conditions today, art, and the challenges we face today. But first, a historic note. African Americans became part of the African diaspora mainly because of the triangular trade, as shown in this slide. Europe sent manufactured goods backed by guns to Africa and replaced African people captured into the transatlantic slave system into the so-called New World, the Caribbean, North and South America, as a labor force to produce and send to Europe raw materials, cotton to feed their textile mills, and to feed their fancy sugar and tobacco. Millions of people were displaced from Africa and relocated to the Americas. This was the basis on how the U.S. capitalist system built its world-leading economic base with cotton, sugar, and tobacco. The slavery system in the U.S. was driven by an ideological strategy to confuse and disorient Black people in the U.S., to estrange them from Africa and force them into historical amnesia and the cultural orientation of self-hate. But in more recent times, two history-changing events reversed this. The Black Power movement sprang into a mass force in 1966. This went beyond the integrationist impulse that Black success meant mimicking white people. Black people turned to themselves, also embracing their connections to origin, to Africa. The lead book in this process was Black Power by Carmichael and Hamilton. Then the African Liberation Movement took a major leap forward in anti-colonial wars of national liberation, such as in Guinea-Bissau, reflected in the work of their great theoretician, Amilcar Cabral, shown here. Now, these two tendencies, Black Power, anti-colonial wars of national liberation, converged in the Congress of African Peoples held in Atlanta in 1970, attended by 3,000 people. This gathered together the cultural and political activists from the African diaspora, who later joined the convening of FESHTAC 77. Now, FESHTAC 77 was hosted by Nigeria. The head of state then was Olusegun Obasanjo. Nigeria has the largest population of all African countries. It has the largest spread of descendants into the diaspora, and it has oil. It's important to keep this in mind because Nigeria could afford to host FESHTAC and build facilities for it because of its oil revenue. In fact, it built an entire Lagos suburb and called it FESHTAC Town. However, there is an environmental crisis because of how oil production in Nigeria has neglected safety and the environment. To protect its oil profits, the Nigerian government executed the environmental activist Sero Wiwa in 1995. So why FESHTAC in Nigeria? Well, it's a major force in African art, from the traditional sculpture of many types, such as Benin and Ife, to the literary production of great writers like Chinua Achebe and Wole Soyinka, and the musicians like Fela and Sunny Ade. The Orisha, or gods, of the Yoruba made their way into the diverse energy of the diaspora, including Cuba, Haiti, Brazil, and the US. So on the basis of cultural arts, Nigeria was an appropriate host for FESHTAC 77. However, following FESHTAC, there's been a crisis of global importance, just as important as FESHTAC itself. The hundreds of documentary film reels about FESHTAC that were taken, I mean, they filmed everything, but they've been allowed to disintegrate, having never been digitized for preservation. So the memory of FESHTAC in its detail is in danger, even though Nigeria is fat with 10,000 millionaires and at least 5 billionaires. FESHTAC Town was built to be middle-class housing. And it's now, let me just say, it's quite less than that. You can follow my train of thought here. But the memory of FESHTAC 77 still shines through Africa and the African diaspora. Now, the U.S. sent one of the largest delegations to FESHTAC. We came and left in waves, since the FESHTAC was a month long. All art forms were represented. African Americans had proclaimed their African ancestral identity, but brought with them the distinctive cultural production shaped by their unique improvisational creativity.
Hi, my name is Grant Clark. I'm a journalist based in Cape Town, South Africa. I'm a native South African. We live in a time when the narrative is so controlled by corporate media and their agenda. We know that not only in the United States, but across the world, including here in Africa. So it is crucial, it is vital that we have platforms, channels, spaces like WPFW and the program Africa Now, through which we can engage with true narratives of what is going on, narratives of stories and developments that really reflect what is happening on the ground, what people think and feel, and what the true implications are of the actions of our politicians, of our policymakers, of our governments. So without channels like WPFW and shows like Africa Now, we would be so much poorer for a diversity of information that we get, the debates that we hear on Africa Now, the kinds of issues and stories that are tackled might be the same headlines as those tackled on other corporate mainstream media. But with community radio shows like WPFW, we are able to go a lot deeper. We are able to reflect the more nuanced, more accurate stories, narratives, perspectives of people, and the voice, more importantly, the marginalized voices that don't make it onto mainstream media, not only in the United States, but here on the African continent as well. We are challenged in the same way that corporate media, corporate-owned media here in Africa, in South Africa and countries across the continent, share or project the interests of their corporate owners, which are not the interests of the majority of people living in nations. So we look for shows like Africa Now and radio stations like WPFW, community media, to be able to cut through a lot of that propaganda, a lot of that framing of a narrative that does not reflect what is really happening. So it's so important that we're able to support this, because we know we're up against giants in the corporate world, media that tries to drown out the true narratives or accurate narratives of what really is happening. So please support WPFW and Africa Now.
And that was Grant Clark. He is a freelance journalist in Cape Town, South Africa. And as he says, join him in supporting Africa Now and WPFW. It's because of your support we're able to have journalists like Grant Clark providing the information that's on the ground, that information that you're not really going to get, as you mentioned, the corporate media. As you heard him say, that how important this station is to folks such as himself and others in the continent, as well as the rest of the world. And I'm joined today by our executive producer and co-host, James Pope. James, you're there, right?
I am here and everywhere.
So we're in three different places.
Right. I wanted to just give a really, really short story. And this goes into the importance of WPFW as an institution, as an incubator of information, as a place of knowledge formation. When we were giving this, when Brother Abdul, we were down in Winston, Salem, North Carolina, folk came, And what was interesting is that not only did it draw, people, there were many people who actually participated in, FESTAC in various, in various ways. But what was very interesting is that there was someone who was a child in Nigeria who actually remembered this, who now came back and was so grateful because he actually lived in Festac town at that particular time. So I say that in the context, as those who are listening to Africa Now and any of the program that we're doing, there's all of these memories and these thoughts, this collective intelligence. So WPFW becomes an incubator, right? An archive, a community archive, a place where you can go in and out. You can access the programs publicly. There's an archive that's there. You can go back to past programs. The production and the team at WPFW are doing things to kind of really allow a more systematic way, institutionalized way to access the information. So I just wanted to make that point. WPFW sits in a continuum of an incubator of thinking not only about the past to understand the future, but also, not only to understand the past, but to understand the present in order to create new futures, or as Thomas Sankara would say, invent the future, to create something differently.
Yeah, the word you use is exactly an incubator, molding people. And so it's a university where this is a university, a daily university, which is you get so much knowledge from all the shows that they're on. And especially when we as our in our particular that the shows that we do, but particularly to highlight the African world, you have a number of shows that highlight the African world. We have our friends of Voices of Vision, Africa Deep Thought, for instance, and even music. You have African Rhythms and Extensions over the weekend, and many other shows which highlight the African world. And Africa Now is part of that family, and that's PFW is the station that brings you Africa Now weekly at this hour, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And again, to support the show, you can go to the website wpfwfm.org and go to the donate now button, scroll down to Africa Now to make your pledge for the show and WPFW. And also you can call 800-222-9739. That's 800-222-9739. And also, you can pledge on the Cash App, which is $ WPFW FM. This the Cash App is $ WPFW FM. And make sure you write in the memo section that is for Africa Now. And you can also text at WPFW FM at 801-801. That's texting WPFW FM to 801-801. And we just want to acknowledge the Africa World Now Project Collective of Dr. Tasmin Siddiqui, Dr. Keisha Khan Perry, Dr. Josh Myers, and Kurt Erdison, and the Africa World Now Project and Africa Now Collective volunteers, research volunteers, Shanda Koza and Funan Gonda. And of course, right here in our studio is Michael Nasella and Clea Chapman. And thank you very much for always putting us on, making sure that we sound good. Great, actually. it's magic. We actually call it Magic Mike.
they do all right. They be all right.
They're fantastic. All right. And I just want to thank, before we go, Muna from Arlington, Virginia. And she says, thank you. I love WPFW. Wish I had discovered the station 30 years ago. Thank you, Muna, for your support. And also Bridget in Chevy Chase, Maryland. Thank you very much for all your support. We still have some time for you to support the show and the station up to 1 o'clock when we have a headline news at right after the show at 1:55. That's headline news. And that's followed by Shayanana with Zainal Lamin, which looks at issues in Northern Africa and the Middle East, particularly the plight of Palestinians. You won't get any other show like this in this area or in most places in the USA, highlighting what's really going on there. And also the voices from those areas. And then after that is Sophie's Power of the Women's Collective. And then we have... also, the Tony Browder, the Browder File with Tony Browder. And that's also followed by Black Agenda Radio with Margaret Kimberly and Combit Lakai with Eugenia Charles, looking at issues in Haiti. So there you can see the wide scope of what WPFW covers, which you won't get in most of the corporate radio. And we did go a little over our what we are supposed to get today. We want to thank you very much for that. We still need more. Sorry, James has another.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say anything, but I think every time I come on, we get extra money.
Yeah,
please keep it coming.
Yeah, we still have a long way to go. Yeah. I shouldn't say we still have a long way to go. There's so many things to do, as you heard in previous shows. We need all this support, the resources, as we're going to be encountering the struggle. It's going to be more challenging, but we can make it happen. And you've always been there with us in all the various struggles of the station. I want to thank you again for being on the show and listening to us. And we hope to see you next week. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. My co-host is also here with us, the executive producer and co-host, James Pope. Thank you.
For WPFW News in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin. Here are some headlines. President Trump ramped up his criticism of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky yesterday after U.S. officials met for talks with Russian officials in Saudi Arabia to discuss ending the war in Ukraine and preparing for a meeting between Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Ukraine was not invited to these talks, leading Zelensky to publicly reject any potential agreements made without Kyiv's participation. Speaking to reporters last night, Trump hit back, calling Zelensky a poor negotiator and grossly incompetent, and falsely blaming Ukraine for starting the conflict. The president seemed to be suggesting that the Ukrainians should have made a deal to avoid Russia's full-scale invasion in 2022. Zelensky today suggested Trump is echoing Russian talking points and stated that Trump is living in, quote, a disinformation space of Russian propaganda, close quote. In other news, a federal judge yesterday temporarily blocked the CIA and the Office of Director of National Intelligence from firing 11 people who were let go as part of Trump's effort to end DEI programs in the federal government. U.S. District Judge Anthony Trenga issued the order in response to a lawsuit filed by intelligence officers who said the dismissals violated their constitutional rights and federal law. The order doesn't give a detailed reason for the stay, but Trenga said he wanted plaintiffs to give him, quote, clarification as to what agency regulations are implicated in this case and the potential irreparable harm, close quote. Also yesterday, U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan rejected the request of 14 Democratic state attorneys general that would have immediately blocked Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency from firing federal workers and accessing data at 7 federal agencies. Chutkan said the states had not made their case of irreparable harm to justify a temporary restraining order. Judge Chutkan, however, appeared sympathetic to the state's argument that Musk's role is potentially unconstitutional. Quote, plaintiffs legitimately call into question what appears to be the unchecked authority of an unelected individual and an entity that was not created by Congress and over which it has no oversight. Close quote. Chutkan said she found the argument is legally plausible should the states provide more evidence. In other news, President Trump yesterday signed a sweeping executive order bringing independent agencies under the control of the White House, an action that would greatly expand his power but is likely to attract significant legal challenges. The order is expected to apply to the Federal Election Commission, the Federal Communications Commission, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the Federal Trade Commission. Under the order, independent agencies must coordinate policies and priorities with Russell